Today has been one of those good bad days, only moderately hard. The main event was Linda Bird starting school this morning at George Washington. And as I look at the Star and the news, I'm grateful that she almost never takes a bad picture. And I'm glad, too, that they did give her credit for being a straight-A student, which she almost is, on a roll in 3 A's, 3 B's last semester at the university, although here she's just going to take 9 hours at George Washington, and then another 6 hours by correspondence from the university. No offense intended to all the other universities in the world, but naturally the University of Texas, from which she hopes someday to get her degree. I read, too, Linda's first full interview with Dorothy McArdle, probably the kindest of them all, I think, and I'd give it probably an A+. She somehow manages to say just about all the right things you can and as few of the wrong things, and to wind up with humor when you can get out of a lot of things with humor, and how I wish I knew how to handle it. She makes it real positive. She's going to get her schoolwork done first, and then laughingly says, "How can Daddy sign the education bill if I don't get my schoolwork done?" In other words, it's just a good combination of her job of helping out here, such as shaking hands with 495 young Democrats from New York City on Saturday afternoon, and then receiving the 100 high school students here from every state in the Union who were brought because of their high scholastic standing by the Hearst Foundation. And then the gaiety of staying long and dancing late at Marta's wedding reception. And she also balances, well, the seriousness of her reading, which right now is Will Durant's Caesar and Christ, with the light touch of going out to hear the New Christy Minstrels with two unnamed dates. I don't believe that bright spirit will ever be harnessed, and I don't want her to get to feeling harassed by newspaper people, but I just depend on her for having the balance to fit in where I can't fit in, and then to bring me joy. Am I asking too much of a 19-year-old? The big show of the day was about 4:15 this afternoon when we met college editors, presumably from all over the United States, in the East Room. They were billed to be about 400 of them. It seemed to me vastly more. It was sponsored by the Overseas Press Club, with a rather amorphous group of assistant sponsors, one of whom was the Coca-Cola Company, and it seems like every other third person I met was one of the sponsors. I would not say it is our most successful activity in the White House. First, we walked into the East Room, where everybody was already seated, and I went to the microphone and introduced, with a few words, Hal Holbrook, who does an imitation of a well-known newspaper man of long time ago, Mark Twain, of the Territorial Enterprise. His makeup is fantastically good. It took him 3.5 hours to put it on. He came in and was just getting underway real good when, to my horror, into the room walked Lyndon, bounded right up on the stage, stuck out his hand, said, "I'd always wanted to meet Mr. Twain, and so now's my chance." Shook hands with him, turned to the audience, said about 3 or 4 good sentences in which he quoted Mirabeau Bonaparte Lamar, one of the first governors of Texas, about an educated mind is a guardian genius of democracy, the only dictator which free men want, and so forth and so forth, then turned and bounded out of the room. I don't know who was the more flabbergasted, me or Hal Holbrook, but I want to say he was a great trooper. He came too quick, he took the audience back, and he was really delightful. Even if I was the only person in the room who clapped when he said, "We hear a lot about the freedom of the press, but But what do we hear about the freedom of the person that the press is interviewing? It was 20 minutes of wonderful theater, broken by that most remarkable interlude of Lyndon's. And incidentally, the next morning, Dorothy McArdle's story about it headlined with, "Twain did meet and was derailed." Then when the entertainment was over, I went into the East Room, and Linda and I stood in line and met them all. The aide told me the colleges from which each one came. There seemed to be an enormous preponderance of colleges close at hand, colleges on the Eastern seaboard. There were very few from the South and not many from the West. If there were only 400 people, I'm not a very good estimate of a crowd. I did not find them as responsive as most groups are. That is, it was only about every 20th person who came by who said, "It's so nice of you to have us here. We enjoyed Mark Twain so much," or "Thank you." I think they must be a pretty cynical young bunch. At a time in life and perhaps getting into a profession where they think they have to regard the world askance and perhaps particularly politics most of all. Well, it'll be interesting to see what sort of mail we get from them. After finishing the line and making a few little forays into the East Room where they were all having refreshments and asking them to make themselves at home, I quickly went upstairs. Later on, had a brief session with Liz and Dick Nelson about it, in which I said, "Next time, let's do several of the following things. One, make sure that guests leave their cameras outside and consider that they're at a party and not at the zoo or on a sightseeing expedition. Make sure that of the sponsors, there is a moderate number and that they don't, I really have the feeling that there was an extraordinary number of sponsors along here. And then, lastly, perhaps we are having too many groups, too easy. Perhaps it would be best for our own budget, strength, and appearance in the public eye, even for the pleasure of those who do come, if we had a few less groups." Although I well remember that it's I who am always harping on, let's have young people, young people, young people. Then I took a brief dash out to try to find myself a couple of hats. Successful it was, I think, and returned in time to work on letters and bills with Ashton. About an hour's work between 7 and 8, maybe 8:30. She gets here late, but she's leaving awfully late, too. And I can't help but worry about her because she looks pretty pale and has a 5-month-old baby. Then I slipped quietly over to the White House, to Lyndon's office, determined not to raise any objections about how late dinner might be. It was probably 8:30 when I got over there. There was P.S. Salinger, Walter Jenkins, Jack Brooks, A.W., for a while, Walter. We sat around and had a drink and discussed the condition in Texas. At the last minute, after we had hoped so much and really thought that it was going to work out, that John would not have an opponent, he is. Don Yarbrough announced, and it appears that it's under the auspices of labor, somewhere during the last 2 hours that it's possible to announce. Nobody announced against Senator Yarbrough, so he's getting a free ride. It is not hard to imagine how people like Jim Wright and Joe Kilgore and John himself are feeling tonight, and some of the bitterness that is no doubt being directed our way. For the success of the administration, it would be so much better if there were no fight, no split, no bloody knockdown drag out in Texas, and either the governor's race are the senator's race, and that's not happening that way. There is going to be just one race, and that's going to be the governor's race. And though John's going to win it, I'd bet anything it's going to mean an exertion of strength that he doesn't really have to spare right now, and of money and of spiritual effort. And this is not a good night for us or for him. Lyndon called him and talked to him a long time. I'm glad he did. It must have been a hard call for Lyndon to make. It must have been about like climbing one of the Himalayan peaks without your shoes on. Quite late again, something after 10:30, we had dinner with A.W. Jack Brooks, and I believe Walter Jenkins was with us, and Pierre too. So this is the end of February the 3rd, Monday, which has been one of those days when you look forward to the end of the 10 months or the whatever it is that you're in this office.